It is Wednesday morning. It's hump day. That's Todd Sylvester. I'm Ellen Taylor. Mike Romano, Reed Hodges. There's somebody else in a chair in the studio for the
just
duration
finishing his cannoli
of the show. Tom Riello, fresh from, was it a working retreat? Was it a spiritual or like academic?
All of that.
Oh, okay.
All of that.
Okay.
And I am not leaving. I'm not leaving. I am officially just going to be staying down here.
Oh, okay.
In beautiful Fairhope, Alabama.
What's not
love? I'll
be going
to St. Lawrence Parish on a regular basis.
Praise the Lord.
Just not going back up 65.
Is Chris okay
to the capital
with this?
Of dreams?
Yeah.
She has just found out about it. So, Chris, put the house up. Let's come on down. I am convinced. Living by the bay.
Yeah,
we all were at Montgomery Catholic. We do every year. We do in summer an admin working retreat. So, in other words, a little bit or et labora. Ellen loves the Latin.
No,
a little bit of prayer and work,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of fun, a lot of fellowship, and it really is important, I think. And Justin Costanza, our president, it's important for people to spend time together, mm-hmm. to fellowship together,
amen.
To have fun, to laugh, to be frivolous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't take yourself so seriously. I mean, that Father LaPointe, he just loves St. Philip Neri, and we've talked about him before on the show. He didn't take himself too seriously. He took the faith seriously.
Mm-hmm.
He proclaimed the faith, but he didn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
All the while by living it, though.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, he lived it seriously, right. But you're right. I mean, he was known for his joy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The laughter, the silliness. And so all of that's part and parcel of it. And so it's the genius of Justin's leadership. A friend of the show, Lauren Alley, is back where she belongs in the Archdiocese of Mobile.
Oh, nice.
She was in Dallas for a year doing great work there. Of course, wherever Lauren goes, she's going to do great work. And she has now joined the team at Montgomery Catholic. She is at the high school, so we're going to be doing a little bit of different things. I'm going to be transitioning a little bit toward teaching U.S. government, which is going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can you imagine?
They're never going to have founding father of America, John Paul II, baby. There we go. Who's George Washington? No, kidding. I'm kidding, Chad. I'm kidding.
I can't wait till you start to roll out to your coursework and be like, can you believe they said that in this book? I had to correct it.
Or at least giving the credit where it's due.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
right.
let's be honest about what the church has done for Western civilization.
Mm.
Exactly. And so be doing that. And I do fundraising for the school, and I do this faith integration, which kind of ties in with the Front Royal principles.
Mm.
And I'm getting ready to roll that out. So I'm excited. Really just very blessed at Montgomery Catholic. We just had Father Gayton Armstrong get ordained. So that's our third ordination in the last few years, which we're just over the moon about. And just continuing to pray. Because really at the end of the day, when you think about why you have a Catholic school, if it's not to help the church in vocations, if it's not to help the church grow in holiness, then you might as well just close them. But we have them for a reason. And so it's exciting to be a part of that.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
great having you in studio.
Oh, yeah. We will have more of Tom Riello in spades. There is a solemnity today.
Woo!
The Nativity.
There's only three birthdays celebrated in the church calendar.
Jesus.
Right.
John the Baptist, because
right.
I'm going to read the prayer.
Right.
Mary.
Right.
Oh, look at me. Look at me. I got the Catholic quiz.
Yeah.
So it's Nativity of St. John the Baptist. So we will open the day in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that your family may walk in the way of salvation, and attentive to what St. John, the precursor, urged, may come safely to the one he foretold, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Tool Expo. At Tool Expo, builders will find everything they need for the worksite. Tool Expo also delivers anywhere. Locations in Pensacola, Orange Beach, Robertsdale, and Mobile. Visit toolexpo.com.
Headlines for Wednesday, June 24th, the Nativity of John the Baptist. Vatican Dicastery for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments this month told the president of the German Bishops Conference in a response letter that lay people may not, even in exceptional circumstances, give the homily during Mass.
Oh.
Yes.
Had that been going on in Germany? I suspect
no
maybe.
No comment. Reflecting on the legacy of Jerome Lejeune during an audience with the foundation named after the venerable French Catholic geneticist, Pope Leo XIV said that a physician should never be allowed to decide of the life of a particular embryo or a particular elderly person. The Holy Father also argued that medicine must never become the servant of programmed death. Justice Department has charged 455 defendants across 45 states and U.S. territories in a $6.5 billion healthcare fraud crackdown that included fraudulent billing, illegal kickbacks, opioid distribution, and telemedicine operations. Officials described it as the largest coordinated enforcement action in its history. Washington Wizards select BYU, and where'd Reed go? I need this help pronouncing these names.
Oh, no.
A.J.
He left the room.
Dabanza as number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Milwaukee Bucks trade two-time MVP Giannis something and Bobby Portis. Thank you. To the Miami Heat for a squad of young players and draft picks. Cristiano Ronaldo becomes the oldest player to score twice in one World Cup match and the first player to score in six World Cups as Portugal beat Uzbekistan 5-0.
Yeah, they got their act together yesterday because there's a lot of talk.
Ronaldo is only 41, so he must have been a teenager the first World Cup.
Yeah, he's been a superstar since he was a kid.
Meta debuts more affordable line of AI-powered smart glasses starting at $299. One model is co-designed by Kylie Jenner and features her voice as an AI assistant.
No.
And authorities in Texas are asking for the public's help to find a giraffe named Gracie who escaped from a ranch in Real County.
I think you could spot him pretty much, people. If you don't even
I'm not sure if it's a dog. I'm not sure if it's a dog. There's a really tall animal.
Oh, I love the news. Big World Cup match tonight between Scotland and Brazil in Miami, and there's some kind of party going on down there from what I've seen.
They're going to run out of beer.
You're probably going to drink dry
like
another
in Boston,
city.
Yeah.
It's been really edifying to watch that kind of camaraderie, which maybe we'll get to in the second segment. We talk about a little bit a broader aspect. But you wanted to talk about, Tom Reeler, while you're sitting in the chair, and you sent us a very official-looking document.
Yes.
Which at 4:30 in the morning, my eyes really could not comprehend. The Front Royal document on education. What is that all about?
Yes,
I'm sure you're going to break it down. It's like something easy to explain.
You always have to have an official-sounding name to give it a sense of gravitas, as we like to say. Front Royal, people know that, is the home of Christendom. Mm-hmm. A university, Front Royal, Virginia. So it gets the name Front Royal Document on Education because it was an event hosted at Christendom going back a couple weeks. And it was a document that came out of these discussions with various members of it, including Bishop Conley from Lincoln and others, people involved, you know, friends of the show, people, Robert Royal, for example, with the Catholic thing. He was there just participating in this discussion, what makes education education? And so they came up with seven basic points. But one of the main points of the document, and I think it's something that if you are involved in Catholic education, you have to recognize, and this is something that our prior bishop used to say all the time, is that there's no such thing as neutrality. Amen. That's the first thing you have to just acknowledge, that it is not... We were joking about, you know, the government, and Tom's going to come in and correct that book. And you're right, though, in many ways, right? In many ways, the books that are out there that are put out by the publishing houses and the secular publishing houses. So, for example, let me give you a concrete example. Hernando de Soto, right? You hear that name, Hernando de Soto, 16th century, coming from Spain, and your typical textbook that's going to be used in your typical school in the state of Alabama, state of Mississippi, Florida, doesn't matter, is going to present these people as exploiters, not explorers, but as exploiters, people who exploited, you know, the poor native people who were just minding their own business and
gold.
These horrible, right. You know, what they will not tell you is that DeSoto did not need the money. He has already been accomplished. He was already very successful. He had a good life back in Spain. What they will not tell you is that when DeSoto came, he brought 12 priests with him, 8 diocesan priests, 4 religious priests, 2 Franciscans, 2 Dominicans. What they will not tell you is when that they came upon Tampa Bay, they bellowed out, calling it the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we were at Holy Spirit Hall.
Yes.
Right? Not far from here. Uh-huh. Guess what we have on the grounds of Sacred Heart Chapel and Holy Spirit Hall from the Archdiocese of Mobile? Mm-hmm. A big sign that says about the explorers when they came upon Mobile Bay. Guess what they named it? The Bay of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know why it's called Holy Spirit Hall? Because it was named Bay of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Do our kids learn that? No, they don't learn that. What they learn is the negative things, the bad things. I was sharing with somebody about some of the work that I was doing, mm-hmm. This person said to me, "But Tom, we can't gloss over." I said, "Oh, don't worry. You'll still have plenty of resources to attack the church. Mm-hmm. But we're going to correct some of these issues, right? Because the mentality, the mindset is, everybody thinks that this is what happened during that time, but it's not true. It's just simply not true. Were there people who did bad things? Of course. Hello, Saturday mm-hmm. afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to go bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I'm not
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we hold, DeSoto and all these up to a standard that none of us live up to? It's usually because, as Archbishop Brody said, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the opportunity to kind of eclipse the role of the church in the founding of the new world.
Mm. That's fascinating. And it seems a timely discussion to have because we were talking about that earlier, like a month ago. Todd and I were like, man, there's just no joy about this 250th birthday coming up. Everyone's at each other's throat. All we can find is negative
things.
When
we were kids, celebrating the 200th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bicentennial.
It was completely different. I mean, there were parades everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was crazy. Everyone. There were flags literally everywhere.
Right.
I mean, and now if you look around, I mean,
I noticed that. It's funny you say that because I noticed that just driving through Daphne and the salute to the flag.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I wasn't all throughout Mobile yesterday. I stayed at my son's house, hung out with Father Pat Arensberg and Father Patrick Driscoll last night for a little bit as well. I didn't notice that. I certainly have not seen that up in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a capital city.
Yeah.
It's like, but Daphne, and it was so stark to me, like, oh my, Daphne actually has salute to the 250th. But you guys nailed it. You're right.
Yeah.
Sad.
So, but also something interesting has happened in the past month. And it's due to the World Cup. And I don't know if you followed that media, which we're getting off our little bit of our education topic.
But hey, that's why I'm in studio, Ellen.
Exactly. We can go up the road.
We're not tied to anything. We're just going to broadcast 24 hours straight.
Cario. Stream of conscience by Tom Riello.
Stephen, you're going to have to get somebody else to drive the bus. Dad's not leaving. Sorry.
But here's what's interesting. Through the eyes of all these visitors that have come to the United States and gotten outside, visitors, when you're making a trip from abroad to the U.S., you hit the big points. You hit New York, you hit L.A., you hit Disney World, practically. That's about it.
Right.
There's too much. But what's happened is they've had all these games in Kansas City and Dallas, Texas, and Houston. And
a friendly in Auburn.
Yes, which was amazing because that kind
of
was
flyover country.
Yeah. And so all of these tourists have come and started posting about the beauty of America. And I think that Todd, has really turned the tide because we as a people have been able to pause these last few weeks and say, man, we do live in a beautiful country. We are blessed with so much. And we have been ungrateful for it recently. Mm-hmm. We've only seen the bad. The glass is half empty. It's been half empty, really, it feels like, since COVID.
But you have to make sure that you're pointing out the true beauty of the country and what they're remarking about. It's not just
the scenery.
It's the people.
Right.
Yes.
The generosity.
And they're just taken aback by, like, walking towards a door and the person holds the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're coming out of the store. They see someone, and you know how there's that comfortable range, you know,
if you're
like 6 steps away, I can let the door go, you know. But these people are holding the door, and it's freaking them out, these ones coming from Europe.
Yeah. It's what we said before in the pre-show, you know, just being human with each other, being personal, does so much more than anything else that we can do. Father Driscoll always loves to talk about the incarnational dimension of our faith. And it bleeds out in our own human lives. And holding the door open, smiling, you know, we mentioned Philip Neri. Philip Neri, he saved the world, right? How did he do it? Well, the joke was, not really the joke, Peter and Paul, they preached the gospel and Philip smiled. And in many ways, that's how he converted Rome, right? The joy of faith. And when people see joy in human life, it is disarming. You know, the Holy Father mentioned in Magnificent Humanity, we won't use the Latin.
Okay.
Joy and disarming, right? That's what has to happen in life, right? For us to recover the true sense of who we are as human beings. And that's what I think they're seeing.
But it really doesn't take as much as people think. You know, my 20-year-old daughter had a friend over who had just gotten back from a trip to Japan for school, you know, for college. And she came to the house, and I'm asking her all these questions. You know me, I like to interview people. So
yeah,
finding out
tell me about it, right?
Yeah, what she was doing
culture,
and the food and this and that. So then afterwards she goes, you're more interested in my trip than my family. And I went, well, that's a bummer. Like, they should be asking all these questions, especially because they probably paid for it, by the way. But then
that's why they're not asking about
it. It got to a point. My wife and I had to run an errand, and then we came back, and she was still there. And she goes, I really don't want to leave your house. And I'm like, oh, okay. She goes, well, Jane eventually will kick me out, but I really like it here. And it doesn't take much, Tom. It doesn't take much. A little bit of attention, a little bit of love. I mean, that's all that people really want.
It is what I think about when I, like, for example, tomorrow when I get back, I'm going to be meeting with a former student who just recently graduated who's going to Texas A&M. And one of the things I often say about Montgomery Catholic, the graduation is not the end. It's only the beginning.
Amen.
Because if I cannot cultivate a relationship with these kids, especially these young men, into thinking about that next step in the journey, then I've done something wrong, then we've done something wrong. And it is not uncommon for kids to contact Justin, you know, and say, hey, I'm in town, can I come see you? And it's why we have so many of our kids that come back and they teach at Montgomery Catholic. It's that relational thing, right? That's what it's all about. And I think we forget that. And you nailed it, Ellen. They're not dumping into Orlando, the happy kingdom, the world of the mice and whatever and the ducks. They're seeing living, breathing human beings in the, as you said, flyover country.
Yeah. I've been following, you know, Freddie, the young German man that was in Auburn.
Everyone has been, yeah.
And so he's driving through a small town, Ohio, yesterday. He's working his way back to a game in Boston. And he's discovered the Amish. And because everyone had been telling him, you got to go when you cut through Pennsylvania and Ohio there. Just go see. And the German roots of the people that founded it there. So it's really interesting because we don't appreciate the small places, the hidden gems, the real life where the rubber meets the road. And just to have that revealed outside the big cities.
Right.
And even the people that are, I think, because some of these games are played in big cities, you know, Los Angeles, you know, most of the stadiums are in the bigger places. But the people have been staying in the outlying areas. Like I read, the Scots had stayed over in Providence, Rhode Island, for the game in Boston. Number one, they could get better priced accommodations and the people putting together the trips and
organizing
there. And
since Boston ran out of beer.
They went into Boston to drink the beer. But a lot of people were pointing out how they really liked that, you know, these slivers of places they would never get to see. And it just feels coming up on this 4th of July, this year in particular, to recognize and be thankful to God for the great country that we live in, that our ancestors made sacrifices to get to, that we could live the faith out here in freedom. Now, what I don't see a lot is people posting about going to church, because I don't think they come from a culture like a Catholic culture is, oh, I got to go find Sunday Mass wherever I'm at. But baby steps, and, you know, we'll start where we can and then try to make a difference there. We'll take a quick break. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about next. We said one sentence about education, I think, but I do.
Hey, that's why we're in studio.
Yeah.
Just go wherever the spirit leads.
Tom Riello.
And
continues.
I'm not getting off the phone because I don't need to.
Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Uh-oh.
And you want to play.
Welcome back.
Showing our age. How many kids don't even know?
I know.
They don't even know.
There's a good portion of our listeners.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I listen.
Welcome back, Carter.
John Sebastian, baby.
Mr. Carter.
For our younger listeners, there was something called sitcoms that we all developed an affinity to for a number of years.
Back
it was like
in the
family.
Day when you had to be at the television at the right time.
At 8 p.m.
Right.
There was no streaming. There was no, I'm going to pause it to go get a snack.
I'll get it
and
later.
Welcome Back, Carter was a TV show about a teacher that had graduated from that high school and came back to teach there. And so just kind of the full circle.
Hey, maybe they'll do like a redo, and it'll be Welcome Back, Riello. Maybe.
Could be. That'd be fun.
John Travolta playing me.
I would watch that.
God, I could have died.
I would watch that.
Hey, listen, folks, at the end of the day, it's going to be weird.
I was talking on the break to Tom and peppering him with my education questions that I read in media and like to put it, you know, to the real person test. So I had brought this up in the news because these stories have been coming often and more frequently. And I particularly think post-COVID, because the standards were kind of really laxed to, you know, accommodate people from home or teaching through Zoom, which many schools and states did for years. These kids are getting to university now, and even the kids in the STEM program from certain states and districts are at a middle school math level, and they can't compete, and the teachers have to teach down to these portions of kids, whereas other kids that maybe are coming from like a fine establishment like Montgomery Catholic or one of the other Catholic parochial or private schools, and then the kids that notoriously excel due to, you know, either culture or family. A lot of the Asian students, they're up there fine. But you've had this thing we've been trying to do in America, which is to bring everybody, cast the big net, everybody's going to be a doctor. Well, I feel like that we've recognized that is not working, because to be a doctor, you still need some skills and criteria. And no matter how big we cast the net, we can't bring those people up to be competent physicians or whatever, space engineers or teachers even. So in education, there seems to be a real line. The positive thing I've seen is we finally are seeing the data on it, and they're recognizing that this is not a plan for the excellence of a country. And I just wanted to get your take on that. You probably live in a different world. I've never experienced that.
like I said to you during the break, you know, I can't relate to a lot of the stuff being at Montgomery Catholic because of the culture that our school is, the way we go about things, the expectation level, the meritocracy. I mean, at Montgomery Catholic, there's that sense of meritocracy. Like, we are going to challenge you to be the best version of yourself. And Chad Barrick, who was the principal before he became superintendent in the Archdiocese of Mobile, that was something he articulated. It was something Ann Caesar articulated. And so we're not doing anything different.
Mm-hmm.
But we continue to say that, right? And so we do have that culture where kids do read. And you're going to read your book. And you're going to read the classics. You know, Kerry Moore, who was our 12th grade English teacher, they're going to read all the different great classics of American literature. Virginia Beale, who is the daughter of Father Bryce Shields, the now retired president of McGill Tulane, she is going to have these kids read. You're going to read the classics. You're going to read Huckleberry Finn. You're going to read the, you know, the standard American fare. You're going to read Faulkner. You're going to read Flannery O'Connor. And so it is hard to process that, but I have looked at the same data, and I have talked to people who, for example, we have students that go off to college and come back. We have a lot of students like that. Mm-hmm. And they will say repeatedly, my history class at Auburn, and I'm not talking, I'm talking Auburn, which is a great school, Alabama, you know, UAH. They had a harder 11th grade history class than they do first year college, and because a lot of college professors are finding they have to remediate.
Mm-hmm.
They are having to remediate a system that many times has failed to teach, for whatever reason, the students before them. And there's many reasons we can get into as to why that is. I do think that at some level, Todd, it goes back to what you were saying, you know, in terms of like the parental aspect of things. You know, the parent, in many ways, is so hugely important, especially the father. And if you're going to look at the data, I guarantee you, when you see parental involvement in the child's education, mm-hmm. really, no matter where you go to school, you're going to see better outcomes typically.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know where to get the hunger for education, though, because there are those outliers like Ben Carson, mm-hmm. you know, grew up in a single parent home, I mean, in the projects.
Yep.
At one point in time, he said they did not have a door on their apartment. Mm. No front door.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, how do you exist without a front door? Mm-hmm. And yet he knew it wasn't sports that was going to get him out, because he really wasn't great at sports. So he just identified, as a kid, he identified only way out is education. And he started reading voraciously. Mm. I mean, right. he was like, this is the only way out. It's the only way out.
On some level, you should not allow, you know, we have this whole Alabama High School Athletic Association debate. I'm going to say something very controversial.
Oh, go right ahead.
You should not be allowed to have a sports program if you're a public school. How about that? Mm-hmm. Only the private schools. Everybody's attacking the private schools. Mm-hmm. Well, I got one for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, only the private schools. Like, you're a football player at St. Michael's with Philip mm-hmm. Rivers teaching you. Guess what? He's going to teach the truth. He's going to teach the truth that, guess what? Your number one calling is not to become an NFL football player. It's not to get a scholarship to a college. I want that for you, but there's something higher for you, and that is to become a saint, right? And then it's to become a good father, a good husband, a good priest. And you're right. So many of these kids, I'm joking, but I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. So many of these kids who are growing up in the Ben Carson situations think their only way out is professional sports.
Right.
And that is me like saying, hey, Ellen, I've got next year, don't do a pledge drive.
Yeah,
and Ellen says, okay, well, I'm all ears. Tell me what we're going to do. We're going to get some cannolis.
Okay.
And I'm going to hit Powerball. That's not a plan.
I know.
And so many of these kids, they really think they're going to go to the next level.
Yeah.
And I've seen this at Montgomery Catholic. So let me tell a story about Jordan mm-hmm. Thomas, the heart of a lion. Mm-hmm. Jordan Thomas was recruited and went to go play for the Tennessee Volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
That was the year of the three players, you know, where we had, they go D1, Clemson, both two to Clemson and one to Tennessee, and mm-hmm. one subsequently went to Ole Miss, and now is at LSU, okay? But Jordan Thomas, so every year we give an award to the department, you know, each department gives an award. So he was senior, 2022, he graduates. And I gave the religion department award to somebody else from the senior class. Mm. He comes up to me after academic awards night, and he sees me after class, great kid, and he looks at me with an intensity. He goes, I should have won that award. in a good way, not in a bad way.
Right.
And he meant it. Like, hey, you know, and you know what? He could have won. He could have. And I hate giving those awards out for that reason, because all of the kids, many of them could have won. But that's how he had that heart, right? Kept in touch with him. He'd come back and visit. We'd say hello. We'd talk. And how's life going? And things are projecting really, really well for Jordan Thomas until his junior year, spring, and he just absolutely has a catastrophic injury.
Mm.
You know, torn ACL, MCL. I mean, it's just bad, right? Doesn't play ever again. Mm. Does he quit? Does he hang his head in shame? Mm. No, he graduates from Tennessee. He becomes a coach's assistant, and he winds up winning last year the award for team leader. Mm. And he didn't even play a game.
Wow.
Didn't play for 2 years.
Wow.
That's a Montgomery Catholic education. Because Jordan Thomas, number 25, learned that there was something more important than just playing football.
Amen.
It wasn't just about the football. He learned that it was faith, He learned that it was family. He learned that it was fellowship. And then it was football. And so many of the, he learned that his lottery ticket was not football. Yeah. Yes. Was he blessed to go? Yes. That kid, and he's not a kid anymore, yeah. He's 22 years old, but you'll always be a kid to me, Jordan. But that young man will now coach other young men. And he said to me when he came back one summer, we were hanging out in the Dolly Marenco Center, he said, Mr. Riello, I want to be able to have the opportunity to impact young people like you've been able to impact us.
Wow. Wow.
No one would ever believe that. A D1 football player said that to a religion teacher, a lowly religion teacher in room 11. He said that to. So every bit as much as I'm proud of Father Thomas LaPointe, Father Thomas Hergy, and Father Gayton Armstrong, I'm proud of Jordan Thomas because that's what it's all about. And that's why I jokingly, but I'm not jokingly, say, AHSA, mic drop from me right now. You should not have public schools and sports, only private schools, because I only trust at the end of the day a faith-infused education to form these young men and women to what really matters most.
Mm. I do think, though, it goes back to the Front Royal document that you started with, because the very first principle is the supernatural end of education. If we don't have the perspective of forever, we're going to get off the rails, Tom.
Yeah, 100% right. And we forget why we're there in the first place, right? We forget what this is all about. You know, I remember Saban did an interview, and you know, we joke about Saban and whatnot, but people forget that the genius of Saban really doesn't start at Alabama. It doesn't start at LSU. It starts at Michigan State in many ways at that high level, and it begins the process. And it's with a psychology professor, and it's learning about the 6 seconds of a play. And he uses that for life. And so I read a book that he did not like. He did not like it was written about him. He did not like the book. But I read the book. And it talked about his life growing up in the gas station with his father and learning from his father to do it right, to do it right. And Saban, in an interview, he said, now, of course, we know Saban's kind of, you know, he's probably not telling the whole truth. But he said something, and Mike's going to laugh. It's not about winning, is what Saban said. Now, we all know that Nikki wants to win, all right? So it's kind of funny when Saban said, but he said, it's not about the winning. It's about the process as to how you got there in many ways, right? Because I can't control that, he would say. I can't control that. But you know what I can control? I can control my part. I can control my part in that. And I think there's so much truth in that if people actually live that on a day-to-day basis. In terms of becoming a saint, I remember Matthew Kelly some years ago said, what is a saint? A saint is someone who strings together holy moments. Mm-hmm. You know, we say, oh my gosh, I'm going to be this great saint. You know, what did Flannery O'Connor say? I could become a martyr if they kill me quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be quick. You know, but the slow process, the day to day, the changing the diaper, mm-hmm. that's what makes a saint.
And I'm glad you use that as an example, because the holy moments, we think that those are these great moments that people would recognize. When I walked up to your car and you said, hang on, I'm at the Te Deum. I knew you were praying in the office. It's like that's the holy moment. You're sitting in your car finishing the office before coming on the radio. Like nothing where people would be like, that's front page news. Like, let's talk to EWTN to do a special on this. It's like, no, this is the stuff that we do. Let's kind of, you know, I think about Mike's license plate, grinding. Mm-hmm. We grind it out, mm-hmm. man. I mean, just make it happen, right, Tom?
Yes, day by day, moment by moment. And that's when you see, like, going back to Jordan Thomas, it was those times when Joe Wilson was taking him into the chapel as a ninth grader. He didn't know what that was all about. He's not even Catholic. Jordan's a committed Christian. He loves the Lord. He's a Baptist. But when he was processing his next step in the journey, where am I going to go to college? You know where he was? He was in a chapel at Montgomery Catholic. You know, where was Kylan Griffin? He was in the chapel at Montgomery Catholic. Those kids would spend time in there. And they wouldn't necessarily know what's all going on and what's happening, but they knew someone was leading them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful words. I don't know about you, but when I walked in, Tom had the holy beam of light over his car, and that was the sign that things were happening in there. The office was being prayed.
That was a cannoli.